stick.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning, and it is January 8th, so of course, we'll play some music later on this morning from the Birthday Boys, and I'll leave it at that for now in case you don't already know, but you will know by the end of the program. We can also talk more about yesterday's discussion with new City Council President Shane Burgo. What did you think of the answers that he gave to the issues that people had and the discussion points going into this selection of a council president? Are you still concerned, or do you realize that it was really much ado about nothing? And I heard callers still calling into Chris yesterday and, you know, being upset about his selection, and the biggest thing they came away with from after yesterday's discussion is that he was 20 minutes late. And if that's what you're coming away with, then I'm going to think that maybe he calmed some of the fears you had about those Burgo boogeymen. The things that weren't really actually things to be concerned about. And that 20 minutes, by the way, was because, as he said, he had a brother who was here from Virginia to be part of what happened on Monday night, and they were saying their goodbyes. And I'm never going to say to somebody, well, gee, you had said you were going to be here at 8 o'clock. Family comes first. And for everybody who is concerned that he has a chronic lateness problem, well, as council president, you got to be there at the beginning of the meeting. So I think that will take care of itself. I was also chronically late all the time. And you know what happened? I was given a radio show and told that I had to be there when the show started. And guess what? I stopped being late for things all the time. So sometimes the responsibility kicks in the actual growth that's needed, the actual change that's needed. So we can talk about that. I also mentioned earlier that I have an article at WBSM.com and on the app about the surprising place where I found some of the best kale soup I'd ever had. And it's interesting because it's led to a discussion online. I thought I was going to take some lumps from people about, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I've had a lot of kale soup over the years. But surprisingly, the lump that I took, well, I shouldn't say that I took, but to the recipe, was there are a lot of people who are upset about the fact that the kale soup that I had carrots in it. And then apparently you shouldn't put carrots in kale soup. I don't know that I've ever had kale soup without carrots in it. Or maybe I have, and, you know, obviously carrots are not something that I think about when I'm eating soup. It's just something that's in there. Because the base of most soups is a mirepoix, which is chopped celery, carrots, and onions. I don't particularly love carrots. I don't mind cooked carrots. I'm not a fan of raw carrots. I'll eat some carrot sticks now and then. I'll even eat a regular carrot now and then, but I don't love it. I would prefer not to have shredded carrot on a salad. I don't mind it when it's, you know, in a soup. So I guess I probably haven't paid attention enough, but I know that I've had kale soup with carrots in it before. I remember when Barry wrote an article about whether or not elbow macaroni belongs in kale soup. Oh my God. Everybody had an opinion about that. Phone lines are lighting up now. I wonder if that's people calling about carrots and kale soup. But I mean, that's just the thing that's come out of the comments on that. 508-996-0500. Let's see where these calls take us. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. The reason why I'm calling is, what is it about the other hosts on WBSM that just go after this Sean Burgo like any little thing? They rant and raving like he's the Wicked Witch of the North. I don't get it.
I mean, I guess you'd have to ask them. But, you know, Chris McCarthy was very vocal about the fact that he doesn't think that he is the right person for the job of council president.
Oh, well, he's made that clear. But there's been other people that were guests on the shows that were late. When Sheriff Hodgson is late, I never hear it.
I mean, that's a good point. That's a fair point. Other guests have been late, yeah. And normally when a guest is late, they always say the same thing. Oh, I was stuck at the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jesus Christmas. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a personal thing.
Well, I mean, Chris has said repeatedly that it's not a personal thing, that he likes Shane Burgo as a person. He just doesn't agree with his politics, and he doesn't think that he is the right person for the job of council president. So, I mean, he's made his reasons why pretty clear on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a Democrat, right?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. Chris has voted for Democrats before. He has friends that are Democrats. I mean, Chris Markey, you know, Bill Keating, Mark Montigny, these are people that I think you could say Chris is close to.
I don't know. I don't consider them friends. I mean, friends don't.
Well,
I
mean,
on the radio.
With all due respect, you don't really know. You don't know Chris's personal life, and I can tell you that, you know, Chris Markey for sure and Mark Montigny are personal friends of Chris McCarthy.
Okay, but I guess we can put it this way. You're my friend, but we just have a difference in policies. I mean, in the political, you know, if you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican. You know, I guess you still could be my friend, but I just don't. Well, we just don't see eye to eye on politics.
Right. Chris McCarthy's my friend, and we don't see eye to eye on politics.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way, dude. So I'll double down on that.
All right.
But well, I don't know. I listen to the show, and it's always just one person just killing this guy. You know, I'm from Wyoming, but I work in the New Bedford area, and I listen to your show all the time, all three guys. And everybody has their own different personalities. And I think you guys are all great. Learned something from all of you. But I can see that some people just don't get the fair shake as the next person. That I can, you know, I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Well, we try and be as balanced as we can. But if somebody has a perspective or a point of view, we want them to have that. We're not holding anybody back here. We want everybody to be as unabashed as they can be.
You know, during the course of the run for the presidency, you know, any little thing that happened all through the country, you know, somebody says something to a Republican in California. You know, you'll hear it on the radio station. Oh, yeah, this guy went inside this place in California. And they started telling them to take off the hat or something like that. On a daily basis, things happen to both sides. I mean, things happen to the Democratic people from Republicans, and things happen to the Republicans from Democrats. But you only hear one side.
Well, you know? maybe that's because they're the actual snowflakes that get a little bit more triggered by things.
Yeah, you got that right. All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Take it easy. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
That's me.
Only you know for sure, but it sounds like you.
Yeah. Well, I got three things. The last quick item would be on Shane and a question for you. But I want to thank you for bringing up homeless news, et cetera, to keep that in the minds of the public that there's actual suffering and worse than that going on for homeless people. As regards to Rhode Island, they seem to be covering the truth of it better than I get on news in Massachusetts, except for the Boston Globe that would criticize the governor for not really backing homeless shelters and the overflow problem and the emergency of it. But on Rhode Island, I did hear from RIU station a few days ago, they have a homeless bus service that prowls the city to pick up wanderers who were denied shelter space, etc. They have beds in it and a shower for overnight. And the bus is trolling the streets looking for things. On that same news blip, they are tracking the deaths of homeless people from hypothermia or freezing to death. And they did state that last year in Rhode Island, 37 people froze to death, homeless people. Yeah, you don't hear much about that in Massachusetts, a much larger state, but people must be dying of hypothermia even in this cold wave here. So they're doing a little bit better news tracking about the problem and not trying to hide it like the mayor of New Bedford is trying to do. So I thank you for bringing that up. Now on the Shane thing, I'm a supporter of Shane, but I don't really know why his fellow councilors supported electing him to be the head of the council there. What were their statements or arguments that was behind their voting for him? Why did they want him?
Well, the only one who spoke in favor of him as part of it was Ryan Pereira, and he talked about, you know, what a person, you know, the kind of person that he sees Shane Burgo as being. But I think a lot of them probably, it comes down to a matter of not so much like, I really want this guy to be the council president, but more a matter of, I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be the council president. Because
that doesn't really square with any insight. I mean, that's ducking the question. Why did they want him to be? Because you could say the same statement about anybody else there. Well, you know, why object to anybody being there? But why did they single out him to be the council president?
He wanted it.
He wanted it, and none of the others did?
Well, Sean Oliver did too, but I guess, you know, he, from my understanding, the timeline is, you know, he made a move toward it after Shane had said that he was interested in it.
Well, I heard an earlier report weeks ago that people in the council, they're the ones that asked Shane to come forward to do it. Not that your report now that Shane asked them to vote for him. I heard the reverse. They asked him. Well, and could that be because he is willing to defend the poorer people in the city and has a good voice and good arguments for it against a recalcitrant, hard-hearted mayoral office that doesn't really give a damn about the homeless? They got a program for the housing director that's all on paper, and as Councilor Gomes said, the homeless people that apply, they all go on waiting lists because it's all just print on paper and not enough services. Like you said earlier, who's going to staff these buildings that would be extra shelters? Of course, it costs money to do so, and it's hard to get volunteers to do it. So Shane will bring it up, and he's heroic in that fashion.
Right. I mean, I that may be true. I'm just going by what he said here. That you know, and what he told me was that, you know, he wanted to take on that challenge. So I'm just going by what he told me.
That was after other people asked him to take on that challenge from a previous news report weeks and weeks ago. So, what's the challenge? If it's not to defend the homeless people and the renters who are being evicted, what's the challenge?
I just think that's the challenge. Yeah, I just think the challenge of being the council president, of being the person that oversees it all. But
it has to be issue-oriented. I don't think it's just formal procedure they want him for, because others could cover that just as well. It has to be because he will speak out. They don't want to say it, perhaps, because it's unpopular. There are a lot of hard-hearted people in this city who don't give a damn if anybody dies of hypothermia on the street. But he does give a damn.
Well,
I think you do, too.
I do, and thank you for that. We can find out more, though, because we're going to have him in here on a weekly basis once we get it all squared away.
Well,
so
thanks for setting that up. We appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.
And let's take another call here before we got to go to a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, what's going on, Sam?
How you doing?
Not bad. Well, originally I called because I wanted to laugh at you because you put carrots in your kale soup. I don't put it in there.
I don't make kale soup.
That's heathenistic. Heathenistic. You need holy water to be mixed in with your kale soup. That's all I'm saying. Because that is horrendous. I've actually never had it with a carrot in it. My wife makes the best one.
I think you're contractually obligated to say that.
Well, yeah.
Or else you're never having anything. You're going to be cooking for yourself for the rest of your life.
Yes, you are 100% right. Yeah, so that's the original reason. But you brought up a good topic on with Shane. So I called in with Chris yesterday. And I don't know, he came across as somebody who actually does want to do the job the right way. And my question to him was in regards to the chairmanship. And let's see, hopefully he does follow through with what he said, which is leave his political policies on the national level kind of to the side and do what's best for the city on an individual basis in regards to the committees. I think he'll, you know, hopefully we'll bring that forward and kind of follow through with that.
And I think you know, he made the point that, you know, Massachusetts politics are purposely set up in a way that that parties don't really play a part necessarily. And really, what can you do if you did want to push, you know, your own political ideologies, because you are still you're still one of 11, and B, as council president, you're kind of giving up the ability to be more involved in those things and be more of the administrator of the council.
Right. Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I was opposed to it just because I saw him as an outlier politically in regards to where his policies lie. I think they're a little on the extreme side, left on the left-hand side of the aisle there. But if he can show that he can put his national policies, what he believes nationally, aside and actually do what's right for the city council itself, I think that's a good thing. My concern is that his ideas on the budget kind of are secondary to other things, to his more progressive side, because that's what I got from him over the course of his tenure. He kind of poo-poos the budget process, which in my mind is actually the most important thing as a city council president.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most important thing that any councilor does.
Correct. So when he puts it kind of on the back burner versus, like, social policy, that sits badly with me, just because you're dealing with other people's money. The money that comes out of somebody's paycheck is going to the table of the city council, and they have to distribute it the way the way he sees fit. And he poo-poos that as, like, secondary to a social issue. You know, you can fix a lot of social issues with money at the private sector.
But
when you're dealing with other people's money in the public sector, that's everybody. That's everybody's money, and the money that has to be allocated has to benefit the whole rather than a few.
Is it secondary more because it is not as important or more secondary because it's just something that you take for granted that it's part of the job already. So, you know, for example, it's taken for granted that like I can do all the technical stuff that's involved with my job. And I don't necessarily come on the air and talk about all those technical things that I do because it's just part of what I do. Instead, I'm going to talk about the things that I have opinions on, and I'm going to use this platform to, you know, to have engaging conversations. And then you just take for granted that the nuts and bolts things are going to get done. Is that a nuts and bolts thing for a counselor that you don't necessarily need to have them talking about all the time? They'll deal with that during the budget process.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Maybe that's his outlook on it, but you need to, on the face in the public, you need to be very astute. The number one thing is the budget, because everybody cares about the police, the fire, the roads, you know, every pothole that you hit. Everybody cares about that, whether you're poor, whether you're wealthy. Everybody cares about that type of stuff, and that needs to be on the forefront.
Well, we can... we can certainly discuss that with him, on an ongoing basis as he's coming in.
Right. I think what you have planned with him to come in on a is it a weekly basis?
That's what we're thinking. Yeah, and as long as we can work it out, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a great idea. I mean, that's something you did with Linder and everything else. So I think that's a great idea and to keep him moving forward. In regards to him always being late, that's silly. To complain about that. Everybody knows he's Cape Verdean, right? And anybody who's out there who is Cape Verdean knows what CV time is.
I don't want to get into all that.
I know friends. I have very good friends who are Cape Verdean, and they know exactly. They're like, yeah, of course. He goes, as long as it has a 9 before the hour, I'm on time.
It's
9:01 or 9:59, I'm on time. It's a 9.
That falls under the category of they can say that, but we shouldn't say that.
I can say it. It's fine.
All right. You have a good day.
All right, Tim. Take care.
All right. I am definitely on Tim Weisberg time here because I'm late for a break here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the news. I see a caller's on hold. Caller, hang on. It might be a little bit before we get to you because I've already got Phil Devitt waiting for me. But we'll be right back after a quick break. All right. I do have to have the caller hang on a little bit more because I know Phil Devitt wants to give us the news before he's going to get into some other things. So take it away, Phil.
America says goodbye to Jimmy Carter. Why the U.S. Justice Department is suing 6 major landlords. And good news for those with medical debt.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Nearly 44 years after Jimmy Carter left the nation's capital, the 39th president returned to Washington for 3 days of state funeral rites starting on Tuesday. Carter's remains, which had been lying in repose at the Carter Presidential Center since Saturday, left the Atlanta campus on Tuesday morning. Carter will be buried in Georgia. Las Vegas police revealed on Tuesday that the soldier who detonated a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel used ChatGPT to plan the attack. The investigation found that the man used the AI tool to research explosives and ammunition. While ChatGPT is designed to be harmless, the incident highlights the potential for misuse of the technology. The Biden administration asked a federal appeals court on Tuesday to block a plea agreement for accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that would spare him the risk of the death penalty in one of the deadliest attacks ever on the United States. The Justice Department argued in a brief filed with the federal appeals court in the District of Columbia that the government would be irreparably harmed if the guilty pleas were accepted for Mohammed and 2 co-defendants in the September 11th attacks. It said the government would be denied a chance for a public trial and the opportunity to seek capital punishment against 3 men charged with a heinous act of mass murder that caused the deaths of thousands of people and shocked the nation and the world. The U.S. Justice Department is suing 6 major landlords for allegedly colluding to keep rents high. The lawsuit claims the company shared sensitive data and used an algorithm to set prices, effectively stifling competition. This comes as millions of Americans struggle to afford rent amid a nationwide housing crisis. NASA is seeking a cheaper and faster way to bring Mars samples back to Earth. The original plan ballooned to $11 billion with a return date after 2040. Administrator Bill Nelson scrapped the initial plan, citing the high cost and delays. NASA now exploring 2 more affordable options, including one utilizing innovative designs from commercial partners. The revised plans aim to return the samples in the 2030s, potentially as early as 2035. Final decision will be made next year following detailed engineering studies. And millions of Americans will soon see a boost to their credit scores. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has issued a new rule that bans the inclusion of medical debt on credit reports. The significant change will make it easier for people to qualify for loans, including mortgages and car loans, while also protecting consumers from predatory debt collection practices related to medical bills.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins' next game away with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. Celtics' next game home with the Sacramento Kings on Friday. New England Patriots have interviewed Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton as they search for a new head coach following the firing of Gerard Mayo after a disappointing season.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and windy today, a high of 28. On Thursday, partly cloudy and windy with a high of 29. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 39. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How you doing, Tim?
Good. How are you?
All right. I got to make a correction. I called that number on the paper. It's not called a cigar tax. It's called minimum cigar pricing. And New Bedford's doing that.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out on us a little bit. What'd you say?
I said I called that number on that paper from the Board of Health, and it's not called a cigar tax. It's called minimum cigar pricing. So that's how they say they're able to do that, and New Bedford's only doing that, essentially is a tax.
I think that it's strange that the City Council didn't have something to do with that. That who has the power to invoke that if not the City Council?
It's the Board of Health, but they're saying it's not a tax. It's a minimum cigar pricing.
That's very strange.
It says, yeah. And not just that. I just came from the Cumberlands, and Cumberland said New Bedford Health didn't go in there. It's just these little stores, like Anya's next to me, Muldoon's next to me, the Marty's gas station up here in the North End, Expos, they have them. Cumberland Farms don't have it, and Cumberland Farms had no clue what I was talking about.
Well, maybe give a call over to the Board of Health
and
ask them about it. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, because like I said, I called because after I called you, I called the guy that comes in after you to see what's going on. And so then I just called that number, and they just told me it's not a tax; it's a minimum cigar pricing that they have the authority to do it.
Weird, very strange.
Yeah.
All right.
I took the pictures of all the stickers on like 13 stores in New Bedford.
If you want to send them over to us on the WBSM app.
All right.
Or you can send them directly to me, tim@wbsm.com, either way.
tim@wbsm.com.
Yep.
All right, I'll send it to you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, boss.
All right, and if you want to call in, if anybody wants to call in and chime in on that or any of these other topics, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So, Councilor Abreu just sent me a message that the Board of Health is their own separate voting and governing body. So that would make sense, and that the council wouldn't be aware of it. But the idea that it would be at some stores and not others, that doesn't make any sense. Unless it is that the larger chains are absorbing the extra cost themselves, but I can't imagine they'd want to do that. Very interesting. 508-996-0500. We also have, again, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have a discussion with Teresa Caputo coming up in the next hour, the Long Island Medium. She's coming to Massachusetts. She's going to tell us all about what you can expect at her show. It'll be about a 10 or 15 minute discussion coming up in the next hour. We will not be taking phone calls during it. She's not giving readings over the phone. I don't know that I would ever really want to do that in the morning, because that's not really interesting for all the listeners. It's interesting for the person getting the reading. But we certainly do it from time to time on Spooky South Coast. So maybe when we come back, we'll have a night, not with Teresa Caputo, because she just doesn't have the schedule, but maybe we'll have a night where we do some readings for people. I think the record we set is in a 2-hour show. I think it's 24 or 26 readings we had Lynn Marie give. So anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing better. Thanks for asking.
Good. Good. Yes. Thank you for the excellent show yesterday with Shane Burgle. Greatly appreciated that.
Thank you.
To let him come on your show and congratulate him for his win as the council president. I really don't understand a lot of the pushback. I was very surprised that Jack Spillane kind of jumped in on that side of it. That was very disheartening for me. Everyone has their right to their opinion, so I get it, but that was a little surprising to me. But I just don't understand the bare bones idea of Chris McCarthy really pushing and beating on that drum. I understand, you know, he takes a show in a way, in you know, one direction and so forth, but it's just been unrelenting for Shane. And I'm sorry, I just don't agree. Shane has really done quite well for himself with all the adversity he has faced in his life. So I'm very proud that he has risen to that level. But it just seems to me that there is always something a little bit behind when it comes to Chris bantering the Cape Verdeans. And I'm just not trying to make it a race thing, but I know he doesn't particularly care for Derek Baptiste either. Shane Burgle's in there.
Oh, and, no. I mean, I don't think it's that at all. And I'll say this. I think that, you know, Derek Baptiste hasn't done himself any favors with the media in terms of being, you know, we're not going to have a lot of positive things to say about him because he doesn't talk to us. He doesn't return phone calls. He doesn't give us the opportunity to speak with him, to get to know him.
Well, it's unfortunate, but there has been some things that have come up, and you know, I know Derek Baptiste personally also, but for some reason WBSM has been almost a non-starter in the Cape Verdean community with a lot of folks, and there's a lot of things on Facebook. I'm quite sure that you're part of some of the groups that I'm in, and yesterday's forums were really lit up with what was happening to Shane and has been happening to Shane. And I just hope that we can kind of push back some of that that onion, peel back some of that onion, and go forward.
I mean, I can tell you that when it comes to, at least, you know, Chris McCarthy's criticisms of Shane Burgle, it 100% comes from his political ideologies and policy proposals.
No, I get that. But, you know, it's I just noticed that there's so much stuff, especially around DEI and wokeness. And I mean, it sounds like, woke. They make it sound like a four-letter word. With the agenda on a lot of folks who call into that show. And I get it. I understand it. That's the way you feel. But this whole thing, knock on progressive, you know, and I'll leave you with this. You know, you must remember that the Quakers and abolition was very big here in New Bedford. And at one point, you got to think about what they felt about slavery, and they were also considered progressive. So we have to be careful how we label people and go, because they come down on the right side of history on that one. So I'll leave you with that. And again, thank you for being that calming voice in this storm.
Well, and I will say this too. Certainly if there's people in the community, especially in the Cape Verdean community, that feel like they're not getting a fair shake, have them reach out to me and they can come on the show and talk about it.
I did say that in the, in the forum. So hopefully that'll pick up, but you will not be, you will not hear from a lot of them, because they just have simply turned away from WBSN on a whole. And I really hate to say that, but that's what's being said. But again, I'll leave you with that, and have a good day, and thank you for being you.
Thank you for the call. You have a good day as well. And what I will say is, and this goes to any portion of the community, any demographic, any ethnic group, any socioeconomic group, any religion, anybody. If you feel like WBSM isn't a place where your voice is heard, I will tell you, make your voice heard. Call in. Call in and be part of the conversation. Make your voice heard. That's what this station is for. This station doesn't exist so that Tim Weisberg, Chris McCarthy, Barry Richard, Brian Thomas, Ken Pittman, Paul Santos, anybody else that comes in here, it doesn't exist so that we can just espouse our own viewpoints and opinions. We're only here to fill the time when you're not on the phone and to press the buttons to play the commercials because, you know, that's how we keep the lights on. But we're only here speaking because you're not calling. And you know what? If you call in and things get combative with a host and you feel like the host doesn't give you a fair shake, which I hear from some people sometimes, well, then maybe, you know, don't take that as a reason to say, well, I'm never going to call in again. Take that as a challenge. Take that as a way to make it so they can't hang up on you. They can't talk over you. Because our job here is just to keep the conversation going and to keep things interesting for the listener. And I can tell you, as somebody who does the job, it's much easier for us to do the job when it's you talking instead of us. I'd much rather have a show that's wall-to-wall calls than me having to fill the time. Because you know what? There's less chance of me saying something stupid if you're the ones that are on the phone doing all the talking. So the situation, if you feel like your voice, whether it be you individually or you as part of a collective, one community or another, are not being heard on WBSM, the answer isn't to turn off the station and to go to something else. The answer is to talk to other people and say, well, let's all call in. And that's how talk radio works. And how do you change talk radio? How do you change what is a format that is naturally bent toward conservative thinking and conservative viewpoints? You show them that that's not the only viewpoint that's out there in the audience. When I started doing these talk shows, I was told there's, you know, you're gonna run into trouble. You're gonna run into arguments every day because there aren't a lot of people out there listening that think like you do. Because talk radio is mostly conservative people talking to mostly conservative listeners. And we found the opposite to be true. Instead, I came on the air and bashed Donald Trump a few weeks ago, and instead of getting a bunch of phone calls of people telling me I'm an idiot, I got a bunch of people that called in and said, thank you for finally saying it. So what does that tell me? It tells me that there's other people like-minded like you that are out there, and they'll be inspired to call if you call. But these conversations that we have only go as far as you are willing to let them go. If you don't call in and bring those conversations where you want to see them go, then as hosts, we have to move on to another topic or just keep espousing our own opinions. So I always say, if you don't like the way the show goes, it's kind of on you too, you know? All right, I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon, keep shining bright. Blue moon, keep on shining bright. You're gonna bring me back, come on, baby, tonight. Blue moon, keep shining bright. I say blue moon, I can't talk it, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and let me blue.
Kentucky to keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.
And there's one of the birthday boys today. Today would have been Elvis Presley's 90th birthday. And we play Blue Moon of Kentucky, not only for Elvis, but also because maybe some of that Kentucky bluegrass is something you want to put out in your yard. Well, that's among some of the many great things you can find at M&M Hay and Feed. Formerly Marvin Grain, M&M continues to offer the mom and pop shop experience in South Dartmouth. So you can find feed and grain by the pound. You can get the big 50-pound bags if you want, but you can also get it by the pound if you need to. Also, you can get brand-name pet foods that you won't find anywhere else, or maybe just some nuts and bolts. And when it comes to farms, we have so many people now with backyard farms raising their own chickens. They have hay, straw, they have screen repair, and of course, yes, laying hens, meat chickens, and turkeys. You'll find whatever you need at M&M Hay and Feed, and as they like to say, if they don't have it, you probably don't need it. So check out M&M Hay and Feed, 31 Cove Road in Dartmouth, an authorized dealer of Pool and Grain. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll try to get in as many calls as we can here before we got to take one more break before the end of the program, the end of the hour, rather. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Billy Saffioles.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? You're not going to like what I want to say, but here goes. You know, the gentleman that just called in just before me about Chris McCarthy being against Burgo and being against, you know, doesn't even get along with Derek and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I just want to say that I agree with the gentleman. And I actually believe that Chris McCarthy is prejudiced against Cape Verdeans and blacks.
Yeah, we're not doing this.
Listen, let me finish.
No, I'm not going to let you finish. That's not what this forum is for.
He did it to Manny DeBrito. That's all I got to tell you.
And that also had nothing to do with Manny's ethnic background.
Oh, yes, it did, because he said it.
No, it didn't.
Ted, check your tapes. He said that the mayor is afraid because the guy's Cape Verdean.
Well, that may be why he feels that the mayor is afraid to do something, but that's not why he has a problem with Manny DeBrito.
But the bottom part is everybody, and don't get me wrong. I speak out, and I've been speaking out about the city council and the city, how they only take care of their own. Okay? Now, if you look at the thing, everything came to a head because you're letting a guy get away with everybody. He attacks everybody, but he doesn't attack his friends. They've done them wrong like everybody else. He only attacks certain people. And that's... Are you there?
He is. He attacks people that he feels deserve it. And I might disagree with him about whether or not people deserve it, but I think he's presented the arguments and the reasons for his arguments. I don't agree with them, but he's presented the reasons why.
I just gave you my reasons. Okay, there's a lot of other people that he shuts off. And he's attacked me. He's attacked everybody to his advantage. He never attacks my pygmy. He never attacks all his boys when they come up there. He makes...
Because,
you know what I mean?
Maybe he likes those people because they've never given him a reason to not like them.
Oh, so in other words, we got to kiss his behind so he can like them?
No, I mean like them in terms of what their policies are. I mean, agree with them.
Just look at his record. Like everybody says, look at Gilly's record. Yeah, I take responsibility for it.
If you want to beat up on Chris McCarthy, call up at the Chris McCarthy Show and beat up on him on that program.
He shuts you off every time somebody tries to do it to tell him.
Well, I'm not going to let you do it here either. So I'm going to hold you there, Gilly.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, have a good day. Let me take this final break. Caller, hang on. We will definitely have time to get to you, but we'll be right back.
Details.
All right.